Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is June 17th, 2017, and we're here live for the next almost 2 hours. Now, be advised, though, in the near future, you may be hearing a program that's pre-recorded, so I'll be putting the dates on it, and you'll understand what's going on, but I'll explain that as we go further on in the program. Ladies and gentlemen, now, tomorrow is Father's Day. I'm going to tell you straight up, I could care less. I'm a dad. I want nothing to do with it, but I'll be nice. For all you guys out there, happy Father's Day. I'm done with it. Okay, let's move on. We got a lot going on in the show, and with the show always comes highlights, and I'm going to give you an idea what's coming up so you can get ready with your notepaper and pencils and all that. But we're going to have three more true stories from the Concealed Handgun Magazine with my excellent commentary on each one, of course. We will all listen and learn from other people's true stories of self-defense. Now, I want you to call me today with your true story of self-defense. And I know there's a lot of you out there with it. So tell us your story. Share with us. We'd love to hear it. The number here is 254-697-6633. Love to hear what you got. After our first break, we're going to come back with our license to carry and super attorney Rick Dodd going over the ego states that each one of us possess. The parent, adult, and child ego states. Now, you've heard of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Well, they really exist in us if the right emotional buttons are pushed on us at the right moment. And this segment will be extremely informative. Next, I'm going to go over Aaron's upcoming events and let you all know what's going on so you can become part of Aaron's and High Cap Adventures. At 11, we'll be our very own voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy, Officer Randy Dixon, as the voice of law enforcement. Our next sponsored segment by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer will be the extremely sexy Walther HK416 AR pistol and 22 long rifle. It's sexy as all get out. I have my very own already, and we'll talk to you about the affordable, sexy, and useful 22 that it is. Now, if time allows, I will go over our gun training demo, the double feed. And I'm just going to explain to you what it is. And this is best practiced in person, but I can explain it to you so you can have a basic understanding of what it is. But truly, you have to be here in the classroom to learn how to clearly, properly, and efficiently clear a double feed. Today's special guest will be Lisa Roden, owner of Twin Pistol Bail Bonds and a dear sponsor to this program. Now, Lisa will tell us all about herself, her business, and how, if necessary, they can help you in difficult times. All right, so we got a lot coming up at the show, but let me tell you something else. Remember, I tell you all the time, I start my day with a cup of good coffee, and I go to my friends here at the Hilltop Sefco in Cameron and get my cup of fresh morning Joe. You need to go there, say hi to the ladies. They do an awesome job. All sorts of things in the store there: cigarettes, newspapers, chips, food, drinks, you name it. Go there, say hi, tell them I sent you, let them know you're listening. Okay, let's move on now. We're going to try and keep a tight schedule here today, so I'm going to move right into the true story segment. It's normally with an NRA story, but today I'm going to be taking it out of the Concealed Handgun Magazine. I've got three stories. I'll read them to you and then give you, of course, my excellent commentary. Story number one, and this comes from the May-June issue. Georgia liquor clerk wins gun battle with robber. When a masked and armed man dashed into a liquor store, jumped the counter, and demanded money, the quick-thinking clerk was having none of it. Drawing his legally carried pistol, the clerk fired on the robber. In the ensuing exchange of gunfire, the clerk was unharmed, but the robber was struck three times and later died of his wounds. Police say the store clerk acted in self-defense. My commentary. I want to meet this clerk. That's how it's done. First of all, the clerk had a gun. Secondly, he said, "No way, pal, not me." And thirdly, during the gunfire, he hit the robber three times. Not, he shot, missed, bad guy got scared, ran away. No, he shot the dude three times. If you can hear me in Georgia, go buy your booze from this guy. All right, way to go. Story number two. Illinois man defends against homeowner. When a Kewanee man heard something or someone kicking in his door on Sunday afternoon, he took up a pistol when he went to investigate. When the man kicking on the door refused to desist and entered the homeowner, fearing for his life, shot and killed the intruder. The homeowner is cooperating with police in their investigation and is not expected to face charges. My commentary. Oh, I may have first story too much credit. It took him three shots. This guy in Illinois appears to have only shot once and killed the intruder. The Illinois guy must have taken one of my seminars, and that's why he shot so accurately. Story number three. Missouri, man, we're all over the freaking country here today. Missouri vet prevails against much younger armed robbers. A 70-year-old Vietnam veteran was stopped by the roadside to let a friend out when two young men in a vehicle stopped next to him and pulled a gun after asking for directions. Fearing for his life, the vet drew his own firearm and fired on the would-be robbers, killing one and seriously wounding the other. A police investigation determined that the two robbers were responsible for a crime spree. The police praised the veteran, who they say acted properly and responsibly. He will not be charged. My commentary. It pays to know who you'll be assaulting, robbing, or whatever. A 70-year-old Vietnam vet is not one of them. Can you say flashback? Sure you can. To the vet and all vets, I salute you. Way to go. Okay, so that was the true stories of real life. If you got one, give me a call. 254-697-6633. I would love to hear it and tell us how you got out of it, how you saw it coming, whatever. It'd be great training radio for people out there listening. Now, until we get to our first commercial break, I've got an opinion piece I want to read to you. I was diligently preparing for this week's show, and in the course of that, I was struck with this. And I just put pen to paper. It came out of me real easy. So I'm going to share it with you today. My opinion piece for today is titled, Just Being There. All of us falter sooner or later. All of us hit a low in our life expectations. All of us fall into despair at times over things that may be dear to our hearts. There's only one way to get over it, and that is to go through it. Going through it, whatever it may be, can be an extremely lonely process. No words you can express, no emotions you can give, can clearly state the misery you are currently going through. Being alone in these times, for a time, is necessary. Filter, analyze, evaluate their situation. They must have the privacy of prayer and emotional release on their own, at their own time, and in their own presence. They must have that time alone to pull themselves together, to shake off the dust, and to dry off the tears from their eyes. To be able to look in the mirror and say, you can do this. You're going to make it. Now comes you. Yes, you, the listening audience, and me. This is where we come in. We all know someone in this temporary sad state. They need you and me to just listen. They know we can't fix it, usually, but they need the camaraderie and the compassion of a listening ear and a gently nodding head of acceptance and understanding. The power of human emotion is incredible. It can be given and it can be received, and most assuredly, it can be felt by all those around it. So, ladies and gentlemen, give of yourself a listening ear and a gentle nod to that someone you know who is hurting. It won't cost you a dime, but the dividends you receive from that time of compassion will fill both of your hearts with gladness. The word compassion always hits my chest with a thump, for I know what it means. And here's the definition for those who don't. Compassion is a noun. It means sympathetic concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. And synonyms for that word would be sympathy, empathy, concern, sensitivity, warmth, love, tenderness, mercy, humanity, charity. So remember, just being there may be all that person needs at that moment to just make it through the day. So ladies and gentlemen, that touched me. Somebody has to hear that out there. I don't know who it is. Is it you? If it is you, then utilize it to the best of your ability. Go out there with a listening ear and let somebody just talk and get it off their chest. Okay, Trey, I think we're right on time here. We're going to take a break. Welcome back, everybody. It's June 17th, 2017, and this LTC and Law segment is brought to you by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. And here with me today is Super Attorney of Law himself, Attorney Rick Dodd. Rick, how's it going?
Oh, it's great today. I'm happy to be here. Hope everybody's enjoying the day.
It's always a pleasure to have either you or Ross on. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, 254-697-6633 if you want to be part of the show. Rick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to preface this segment by going over the LTC aspect of it, and then we're going to get into your expertise on what we're going to be talking about. And ladies and gentlemen, what it is, I teach guns, tactics, scenarios, body language, everything to defend yourself when the time arises. But here's a twist. What if we can avoid the whole situation altogether, or maybe seeing a situation starting to brew, we can de-escalate it? That would save us a whole lot of unwanted consequences. And what I'm talking about is nonviolent dispute resolution. One of the lessons to learn when learning nonviolent dispute resolution is the understanding of ego states. There are three, and we all have them. It just depends on what happens to us and how we respond to a situation, which determines which ego state will be present. Those three ego states are parental, adult, and child ego states. The scary thing is that a person can shift from one ego state to another in the same sentence. So being good students and learning how ego states work, we can better direct a potentially dangerous situation into a nonviolent disagreement. All of us see this happening on a daily basis with other people all around us, and even ourselves. All we did right now is just put scientific terms on what we already know. Now that I have, somewhat set up this section, I'm going to go to Attorney Rick Dodd here in a second. But what I want to do is read three short paragraphs to get you lined up for what we're talking about here. And this is about the parent, adult, and child ego states. This is from our training manual. It says, observation of spontaneous social activity reveals that from time to time, people show noticeable changes in posture, viewpoint, voice, vocabulary, and other aspects of behavior. These behavioral changes are often accompanied by a shift in feeling. In a given individual, a certain set of behavior patterns often corresponds to one state of mind, while another set is related to a different psychic attitude, often inconsistent with the first. These changes and differences give rise to the idea of ego states. So in technical language, an ego state may be described as a system of feelings accompanied by a related set of behavior patterns. The position is then, and this is an important paragraph, a very short one. The position is then that at any given moment, each individual in a social situation will exhibit a parental, adult, or child ego state. And this sentence is even more important than the whole thing. In that individuals can shift with varying degrees of readiness from one ego state to another. Okay, so the observation gives rise to certain diagnostic statements, which I'm not going to go into, but this is your parent, this is your adult, this is your child, all have special meanings. So Super Attorney Rick Dodd, again, welcome to the show. You're the expert, and we're going to be so glad to listen to your expertise and breaking it down and telling us what this is all about.
Well, first, when we talk about expertise, I sometimes can be at a party, and if I tell someone I'm a trial lawyer, you know, they'll sort of move away from me like they did in Alice's restaurant. But if I tell them I'm an expert on conflict resolution, suddenly they all gather around want to be part of the group. And really, that's what I do. Just like Warren Zevon says, lawyers, guns, and money, you know, those are three things that help us get out of conflicts.
Oh, you're rolling today. Okay, go.
So that's what it takes. And of course, what you just read sort of tracks what Sigmund Freud wrote back in like 1920 when he started breaking down the id, the superego, and the ego. It has to do with our childlike desires to get whatever we want to get by acting the way we thought we would act as a child. And then our id, which is the it, which really is a subconscious thing that occurs just because we want what we want and for no other reason. The superego is something that we learn basically from our parents about how to interact in society. So this is exactly what you're talking about. As far as breaking it down goes, let's kind of think about how that applies to what we're here talking about today, guns.
Okay.
A classic example, I think, would be some of the fellows that are in the NFL. We hear a lot about guys in the NFL getting shot. We hear about road rage situation where, you know, the big guy that's been in the NFL who is used to getting his way because of his physicality getting shot because he doesn't use some of the conflict resolution concepts and ideas to diffuse the situation. Instead, he comes on like a child, barrels his way into the situation, and winds up taking a bullet because the other person sees him as a threat to their physicality and uses part of the lawyer's guns and monies to end this conflict. So, like one example would have been Will Smith. I think he was with New Orleans back in, it's just been about a year ago, where there was a traffic wreck, an altercation, and he wound up being killed because he didn't really think about a way to defuse. In fact, he actually threw gasoline on the fire, so to speak. These guys, like rappers, you know, we hear about different rappers getting killed. They have the same concept of self. In other words, that I'm going to get this because they're used to it. It's kind of like the jury and the cars. You know, guns become part of their society. And you have to be aware of that and be concerned with that if you're going to make it through a tight situation. So instead of acting like a child and barreling the way through it, what you need to do is act more like an adult, and that is to listen to what the other person is saying. And, of course, there's all sorts of things out there that can take you away from that listening, like outside interference where you have noise. And traffic situations are a lot like that because you got the cars passing by. You have to be concerned about getting ran over on the highway. So one of the things you really ought to try to do is get out of the way, get out of the highway, get off to the side so that you don't get ran over. over so you're not worried about something else beside what the other person is saying if they are in an agitated situation. So you can listen, and then try to, after you've heard what they had to say, try to repeat it so that not only you understand what they're saying, but so that they understand that you understand. In other words, that you're showing an appreciation for what they're saying. Not necessarily that you have to agree with what they're saying, but at least you're showing an appreciation by repeating something like, well, gosh, as I understand it, what you're telling me is. And not only does that give that appreciation, but it sort of gives them a little bit of time to calm down as opposed to pointing the finger and saying, well, blah, 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 you did this and you did that and you shouldn't have done that. That's more of a childlike answer to it.
Rick, I want to make a comment about that. You know, as you're talking here, because I'm studying on this and I have to teach this, I teach it to a lot of people who may not be familiar with the types of terms that we're talking about. They live it, they experience it, but they don't really know what's going on until we explain it and break it down. But what's interesting is you're talking my language. I know what you're saying. And what's interesting is if you and I are talking, because we understand each other and we understand those basic concepts of ego states and all that, it's almost like we can have a very civilized conversation because we can see, oh, didn't mean to go that way. Sorry, let's back it off or whatever. And if everybody understands that and knows that, and hopefully they will after this segment or to some degree, it'll make it easier for conversation and things to get along. I just found that fascinating.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, it's not just this conversation, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to take a course in it. Dale Carnegie, I think, does a great course in this sort of thing. And, of course, we haven't had Dale Carnegie in Cameron for a while, but I was able to take it. Our industrial foundation set up a class. So if that comes back to Cameron, and hopefully it will soon, I might even take it again because it's been 15 or 20 years ago. Warren Buffett, believe it or not, who has degrees from some major university, has his Dale Carnegie certificate front and center on his wall. He says that's the certificate that he believes was responsible for his success more than any other certificate or more than any other training, and I found that to be fascinating. But, you know, these are not magical terms and these are not magical thoughts. You know,
they're
want facts. To hear about...
They're basically facts.
They are.
They happen.
Yeah. You know, and we put these terms on, like you said, the id, the superego, the ego. I think Bernay, the stuff you were quoting, really simplifies it more than Sigmund Freud did. So, again, it's just a situation where you have to act like an adult and you have to consider or concern yourself with the other person's needs, wants, and desires, not just yours, because, again, that's more of a childlike
right.
response.
A lot of body language comes into this, too. If you learn body language and you understand these terms and the ego states, in the course of the conversation, I made a comment about how that one sentence was extremely important, and it says that individuals can shift with varying degrees of readiness from one ego state to another. You can be in a conversation, and in midstream, all of a sudden, you may have said something that the other person found offensive, unbeknownst to you, but watching the body language, they don't have to say a word to you, but their body language of maybe canting off to you, blading off to you, crossing their arms, staring at you, it's like, oh. So the combination of body language with learning these ego states can really help you prevent getting in an altercation and reduce the possibility of that happening.
Sure. And, you know, that's all. It's all about paying attention. If you pay attention not only to their body language, which is obvious, we all exhibit certain body languages depending on our emotions and our feelings, but you also have to be a good listener. You have to pay attention to what the other person is saying. In other words, if you don't listen and you don't hear what they're saying, repeat what they're saying, what you're doing instead is you're mouthing off. And you're talking, and that's all about the I, the me, the id part.
Let me give you an illustration. In my class, we talk about this, or I talk about this, where you know how in the course of your life, somebody's asked you a question, and you kind of caught part of it, and you talk about this. Where you know how in the course of your life, somebody's asked you a question, and you kind of caught part of it, and you assumed it's what they said was this, and your answer was responding to them what you thought they said? And it was a close enough answer, or what they told you was a close enough answer to what you needed to make you go in the direction you thought you had to go. And then you ask another question, and it was still a little skewed. It wasn't 100% accurate, and it makes you go off course just a little bit more. And all of a sudden, before you know, it's like, wait a minute, wait. What do you think I asked you originally? And then the person says, you asked me this. I go, no, I didn't ask you that at all. It's because I spoke, you heard, but you didn't send it back to me for confirmation, and it's a potential for escalation of conflict. It happens all the time. If you're married, it happens all the time.
Go ahead. There's a little deal that we used to do back at Ada Henderson in like the fifth grade. We'd sit around in a circle, about 15 people, and The deal was that one person whispered into the next person's ear, and then you weren't allowed to repeat it. But they would go around, and almost always that 15th person, what they said was just different.
I use that example in my class, too, what you're doing. I say the first person out of 100, your mother's beautiful, she smells like a rose. And by the time the 100th person comes out, she's a battle axe and smells like an old shoe. And I'm like, how does that happen in the course of 100 people? That easy statement where it gets changed like that. I got a question. Hey, Trey, get ready for a one-minute break, okay? Here's the question. How important, Rick, when it comes to the courtroom, are ego states when it comes to getting a conviction or not? And why?
Well, you know, when you talk about getting a conviction, you have a lot of players in the courtroom. And, of course, the most important player in the courtroom is the jury. And their job is to sit with their mouth closed and their ears open and try to hear all the evidence. Now, in order for them to get all that evidence, the lawyer, whose job is to give them that evidence in a fashion such that they can take it in and catalog it and classify it, he has to also be very careful about what he does as far as listening to the evidence and assimilating the evidence. If you're not listening to the witnesses on the witness stand and you're a lawyer and you're sitting there looking at the bluebird out the window, you're not doing your job.
Okay.
So yeah, it's very important for everyone in the courtroom to listen carefully and keep their cool. I've seen some lawyers bust out and get angry. Because it is a high-tension situation, sort of like a traffic wreck might be, and you can't afford really to get angry. Those emotions take away from that ability to listen and understand what's going on. It's just as important to understand what's going on the other side of the aisle as it is to understand what's going on your side of the aisle in order to be successful in the courtroom.
So if I'm talking in an adult manner, and I know if I say something, I'm going to get somebody from an adult to a parental child, almost in a courtroom, that could be advantageous for if you're trying to get emotion stirred, you know how to trigger somebody, right?
Oh, it happens all the time. And of course, we look for that. Most of the time as lawyers, when we're doing depositions, that's all pretrial. We are communicating with the other lawyers. And I learned that early on because I saw some of the old cats doing it to me. They would push my button, and I'm like, well, how did that happen afterwards? And then I realized, they've been doing this for 35 years.
Now you have, and now you know what buttons to push, right?
That's right.
All right, let's take a quick break, Trey. We'll see you on the other side. It's Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program, and today's June 17th. We'll be back in a minute or two. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's June 17th, 2017, and I'm here with Super Attorney Rick Dodd, and we're going over ego states. Ego states are very important to know, understand, and learn to help de-escalate, to have nonviolent dispute resolution. If you're a licensed to carry holder, this is one of the segments you're going to go over. You're going to sign affidavits that you learned laws pertaining to the state of Texas for license to carry. This is part of it, the things that you need to know. You get tested on this. And of course, with my excellent teaching, you'll learn it no problem whatsoever. Okay. Now, Rick, we were talking at the break here. We were going to go over again what each one is, and maybe give a couple examples of how it can go south real fast. And then maybe once it goes south, how we can get it back to a level playing field.
Well, you were talking about poor listening, of course, If you are in a tight situation and you don't hear the other person or choose not to hear the other person and instead continue to be accusatory, like you should have and you didn't and why didn't you? It's, you know, it's sort of like an argument in a marriage. I mean, you've got to be a good listener and you have to be able to diffuse the situation. Otherwise, things are just going to escalate. And when things escalate out in a situation where someone might be having a gun and willing to use it, if they get really upset in their childlike state, you might be no longer with us. So it's important to have those listening skills and hear what the other person is saying. So the way things can go south is if you don't, and the other person escalates into a situation of using their physicality, as I was talking about some of the football players might, and when I say some, I mean some. Some of the rappers might do in situations where things aren't going their way and their childlike attitudes comes out.
You know, Rick, in my class, when I'm teaching License to Carry, we have been so, neutered in the sense of how much time I've got to give all this information. So I've got to be very dramatic in my teachings. And when we're going over ego states, to illustrate the first one, parental, out of nowhere, I'll tell somebody who I know in the course of the class has been pretty cool, you know, he's laid back, I can get a good feel for how this individual is. I'll say, you need to shut up and sit down and do it right now. And the person just looks at me. And everybody's looking at me. And I go, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a parental ego state. How do you think the student responded to that? Kind of bucked up, looked up and said, hey, wait a minute here, what's going on? That's immediate conflict right there. And then I also show the example of how, okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, watch. I'm going to say, hey, pal, I'm sorry. That was really rude of me. I didn't mean to do that. I don't know where it came from. I'm having a rough day. Please forgive me. I hope you accept my apology. And what's happening there is I'm taking it from a parent-child paradigm. Would that be a great way to say it?
Sure.
And I'm leveling it back out on the scale there to adult to adult. Because if you're not speaking adult to adult, you got conflict.
Yeah, the child's going to come out and say, hey, you know, it's none of your business. I'm going to do this because I want to do this.
That's right.
In other words, up
okay, and then the it goes just the other way too. If you're acting childlike, and the person's going to come back at your parental. So when you're talking to somebody, watching the body language, understanding these ego states, you can have a communication that's much better. So let's say, what if you walk up on a situation that you're not even involved in, nonviolent dispute resolution? You're going to come in there and trying to balance everybody out. What would be a good way to do something like that? Same method?
Same method. Yeah. Again, you have to be a good listener. Find out basically who's doing what, and of course, you know, depending on the elevation of the conflict, you got to be more careful. You know, if they're already drawing their guns on each other, it might be best just to step back a couple of steps.
Yeah. I'm always talking about, I ask people in my class who does pot, and I tell them I do pot every day. Pot's a very important aspect of my life. And if I don't do pot, I'm really messed up. And pot stands for perception of threat. Pot. And they all go, ha, 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 funny, funny, funny. Don't quit your day job, right? But perception of threat is very important. So when you're coming into it, what's the perception of threat? How do I come in on this thing? And the best way to do it is in a nonviolent dispute resolution mode, which is an adult mode. And we need to go over that definition again. Adult is, I have no idea where adult is. Where do you go?
Well, adult person, basically what that means is someone who can step in and listen carefully, not be distracted, hear what's going on, and talk to people as other adults, opposed to talking to other people like they're your child, or conversely, talking to the other people like they're your parents, or acting as a parent.
Let me read to you, the reason I hesitated, I wanted to read what it said out of the manual here, just so everybody's on the same sheet of music. I'll read the three. There's parent, adult, child. It says, this is your parent means that you're in the same state of, and you touched on this, that you're in the same state of mind as one of your parents used to be, and you're responding as he or she would with the same posture, gestures, vocabulary, feelings, etc. This is your adult means that you have just made an objective appraisal of the situation and are using the thought processes or the problems you perceive or the conclusions you have come to in a non-prejudicial manner. This is your child means that your reaction is the same as it would have been if you were a little boy or a girl. It also says here the implications are every individual has had parents or substitute parents and that he or she carries within themselves a set of ego states that reproduce the ego states of those parents as he or she perceived them. And that these parental ego states can be activated under certain circumstances. then every individual, including children, mentally retarded individuals, and schizophrenics, is capable of objective data processing if the appropriate ego state can be activated. So everyone's got an adult in them. And then thirdly, that every individual is she is now, and he carries inside of them fixed relics of the early years that will be activated under certain circumstances. So once again, everyone carries a little boy or girl around inside of them whenever they go, all the while being waiting to be activated by somebody pushing the right button.
Or the wrong button.
Or the wrong button.
For instance, if you imply that the other person is wrong, you're wrong about this, that's going to escalate it. And they're coming out saying, you're wrong. If you use language like selfish or lazy or idiot, that's going to escalate things.
It escalates things with me.
Yeah.
But then again, it doesn't, because I'm well-versed in ego states.
Well, I hope so. I cannot imagine you calling your wife any of those things.
Oh, absolutely not.
She's none of those things. She would beat you up.
Yes, she would. She'd shoot me. That's what she'd do.
So the same goes with blame or insults, you know, criticism or, say, comparisons to you and some other idiot. So you wouldn't want to do those sorts of things because that will escalate it. And you know, so if we react in terms that are just wrong, I mean, and you know, we all kind of have a feel for what's right or wrong when we're in a situation dealing with other people. So you know, it's sort of like rules, you know, our laws, our rules, our regulations, you know, these are all laws to keep us from getting in trouble. Basically, the laws are there to keep us straight and keeping us from getting into conflicts with other people. I mean, if you start dumping a bunch of oil down your backyard and it drains into the neighbor's spot, that can get you in trouble, right?
That's right.
You shouldn't do that. So you have to be careful not to do things that are just wrong.
All right, Rick, we got about 2 minutes left here. I want to bring up a point because we touched on it earlier. That's body language. I'm fanatical on body language. If I meet you 2 or 3 times for a course of 10 minutes to 30 minutes, 3 times, I've got you pretty much down, okay? Because things are going to come out. I'm going to learn your mannerisms, your inflections in your voice, your eyes, body stance, the whole works. I think this goes in excellent conjunction with learning the ego states. I would assume in court, too, and I bring this up in court because, God forbid, one of us out there, LTC or something, gets in trouble. Since this is our LTC segment and attorney segment, I got to bring that in here. And you have to go to court for some reason. Understanding body language on watching the threat and also, if you're in the courtroom, on how you handle yourself to show confidence. Wouldn't that those two things mesh up very well and be very important?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, lawyers, guns, and money, I tend to want to think more in terms of the guns part, what we're here for today, de-escalating these conflicts that are out in the street where the other person might have the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you wind up in the courtroom with lawyers and money, it's not that big a deal. It's just really not that big a deal.
All right, Rick,
compared to the other one anyway.
Tell everybody, I'm trying to really stay hard to a timeline here, so we're going to have to shut this down in a minute, but tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and what some of your expertise is and how you can help people.
Well, my expertise has basically to do with anybody being seriously injured or their property being seriously injured. Anytime where there's a deviation or a loss of money, lawyers need to be involved in a civil situation. So I represent people who've been injured by environmental factors, you know, corporations generally who manufacture a faulty product that's dangerous and causes someone death or causes someone to get injured a lot more severely than they should have been injured in the same or similar circumstance. And, of course, they can get in touch with me by any means. They can come see us over on 312 South Houston. I have offices in Temple. One of my partners is a medical doctor. A lot of work with regard to people's injuries, and we understand. I've been a member of the Medical Legal Society for about 30 years, fellows of different organizations. And having said all that, I think you should be congratulated. I understand that you have laid down your proverbial Russian roulette cigarette pack for at least a week. And I hope that people, when they see you, like you said in your commentary, they pat you on the back and give you some good tidings for that. So that will encourage you to continue to keep those things out of your pocket.
Very good. Very good. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's June 17th, 2017, and we're going to go over some things of interest here coming up currently or things that have just happened, so on and so forth. So, ladies' night was last night at Aaron's Gun Shop. And the ladies get free range time every third Friday of the month. And they were tearing it up last night. So you want to become part of the fun, ladies. Every third Friday of the month, your range time is free. But sorry, guys, you're paying me, okay? Bring the ladies, let them enjoy a night of shooting for free. The range time is free. And there's a lot of people there who would love to share the guns that they have. In other words, if your lady is looking to purchase a gun, a lot of times when you go to the box stores, you know, they got trigger guards on the guns. And you got to be very limited as to what you do. And you're dealing with somebody who may not be as experienced and know what they're talking about with the guns. But when you come to the range, there's so many people there with different types of guns, and they're all so generous and willing to let you try them out. And you know, they'll let you shoot 5, 10, 15, 20 rounds of their ammunition. They don't care. They're just having fun. They want to be there and have some fun. So if you're looking for a gun and you're not sure, and I had one lady just recently come on in, and I had, had a handful of guns on the counter, and she's talking about it, and I'm giving explanations and explaining trigger resets and types of actions and grips and palm size, finger lengths. I mean, they're not going to talk about this stuff at the box stores. I've also made up a card that can really answer almost every question that you've got, and it brings you down to the type of gun that you need by answering your own questions. So Aaron's Gun Shop, we've got the indoor range, 25-yard indoor range, adjustable targets, adjustable lighting, and third Fridays of the month is ladies' night. So mark that down and come on out next time. And it's only $10 to shoot anyway for all night long. So you get there, it's 10 bucks for the night. It's cheap. Now, our next round robin competition is July 8th. Our competitions are every second Friday of the month, and these are awesome competitions. Now, the prize for the next competition, I've got a complete payphone that's been converted to a safe. It looks awesome. And you bolt it to the floor. It's a great conversation piece. It's like $500 value. You enter the competition for $20. You get some excellent training. A lot of fun. And if you win, you get a $500 converted telephone into a safe. It's not the phone, Superman phone booth where it's got the door. It's the version after that where it's just the pole sticking up with the silver ring around it, the aluminum ring. It's got the phone etched into it and the payphone. And the front of the payphone comes off and you're able to put your items in there for security. And this thing's locked solid. Once you lock it up, you can't get into that sucker. It's pretty tight. So it's going to be July 8th is the next round robin competition. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and you go to the homepage, at the top of the page there's a link on the rules for the competition. Go click on that. Make sure you understand the rules. And if you go to my YouTube channel, one, become a subscriber. Got lots of videos, interviews, parts, products. We've got some videos on there, too, of the round robin competition being performed, so you get to see how it works. It's basically an accuracy, time-induced type of competition, but the variable on it is you're going to be shooting different guns. You're not going to be relying on your own gun. Whereas you have some of these professional competitors, they get this one gun of theirs, they trick it out, they know it inside and out, but if they put it down and pick somebody else's up, they spit up all over themselves and can't handle it. So this is a lot of good stress in this type of competition. And if you win, you get a gun, you get a phone booth, you get whatever. It all depends on what we're giving up that particular week. Now, July 15th will be my next license to carry class. It's going to be $60 for a new person, $40 for a refresher course. And believe me, everybody who's got a license can use multiple refresher courses. And half off for groups of five or more. I had a class just last week that came in a group of five. They thought they had to pay $60 per person. I said, no, you're here in a group of five. They all came in a group of five. It was half price. So they're like, oh, wow, pretty cool. So you can go to aaronsgunshop.com, excuse me, and go to the LTC page, and it may not be dated properly yet. We'll get that corrected pretty quick, but July 15th will be the next licensed carry class. That'll be a Saturday, and it will start at 2 p.m. I also have in-home gun familiarization courses. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to you. $60 for 90 minutes, because many people can't get out. So for them, I'll come to you. I mean, you got people who want to protect themselves or maybe in a wheelchair, or they're just walking on a cane, or they got kids and they can't make it, or they're just lazy and they don't want to come, and they hear me now saying I'll come to them and they call me up. Okay. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is we got to have gun familiarization, gun safety and handling, and I can come to you and teach you that. So what you need to do is either give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or give us a call at the shop. It's 254-697-4721. It's 254-697-4721. Or just go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. It's got all the information that you need there to get a hold of me. I do seminars for five or more people. We've got rifle seminars, pistol seminars, shotgun seminars. We've got seminars for, we've got ladies only seminars. Let me talk about two specific ones. We've got the M4, the AR-M4 or AR configuration type of platform, AR platform, whether it be a pistol, rifle, 22 all the way up to 308, doesn't matter. As long as it's got the basic configurations and the workings of an AR, we have a special class for that, and we have a fantastic instructor, Zoltan Varga, okay? Special Forces, Hungarian Special Forces. He knows it inside and out. You can go to my YouTube channel. The other one is the ladies only. The ladies who have taken this course, it's unbelievable how they let their hair down. I'll have women come with their husbands or whoever, and you'll see them there sitting there with their arms crossed, not saying much. They'll break loose after a while, but when you have a ladies only course and they're all women there, the hair comes down. And look at the testimonial page of all the ladies who've come from across the state to take the course and what they have to say. I think you'll like it. And if you had any hesitations as to doing the course after listening to those YouTube videos, I think you'll change your mind. Just give me five people or more. We'll set up a date for you. The course fee is different depending on what the course is. They should be posted on the High Cap Adventure page at Aaron's Gun Shop, and you can check that out as well. Now, big news. July 1st, we will be airing our second show on KRXT 98.5 FM out of Rockdale. I'm very excited about that. As of now, as of this moment right now, it will start at 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 a.m. Then I'll pack it up and race over here to the KMIL studios and do this show from 10 to noon. I'm hopefully going to be getting it where we can do it from 7 to 9 and just repeating this week's show on that station there so the people out there can get to hear what we're doing here. This is the source of all the great information. We've got fantastic people who come on the show. We've got the voice of law enforcement. We've got Super Attorney Rick Dye. We've got Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson and so many other people that come on the program with great information, and you can be part of it. So become a sponsor. Love to have you as a sponsor, having a segment of your own, or become a basic advertiser on the show to help support the program to stay on the air. And all of you who are listening who need products and services from people who are promoting themselves on the show, you need to support them. They support the show, and if you like what you're hearing, it has to be the full circle. They support me, I give out information, you support them, and it keeps going on. Okay, now Trey, what we're gonna do, let's take a break, and then come in the 11 o'clock hour, we shall have the voice of law enforcement, our very own Officer Randy Dixon. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Are you needing repair service for your motorcycles, four-wheelers, ATVs, or farm utility vehicles? Then you need to visit Squirrels Two-Wheel Custom in Zobchickville. Squirrels Two-Wheel Customs is now located at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville. At Squirrels Two-Wheel Customs, you'll find a wide assortment of parts and supplies. And if it's not in stock, David Trojan will take your order and your part or supply will be here in a very short time. Stop by Two-Wheel Customs at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville, or call 985-2222. That's Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, offering complete repair, service, parts, and supplies for any make or model of motorcycle, ATV, four wheelers, and farm utility vehicles.
Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. Hope y'all are having a great Saturday, the 17th day of June. Before we get started this morning, and since it is going to be Father's Day this coming Sunday, I want to take just a moment and a privilege, if I could, and wish my son a happy birthday. 38 years ago today, brought that young man into the world. Made quite a person out of himself. He's a firefighter for the city of Galveston, and I'm very proud of that young man. So with that being said, you know, last week we had quite an in-depth discussion about what to do during traffic stops. And I gave you some ideas about how we should act, how people should act. But then I started thinking maybe we need to get a little more in-depth to that. And to be honest with you, I'll tell you exactly why. I had gone to a county west of here about 100 miles this past week, and coming back, I'm driving on the highway, have my cruise control set. Lo and behold, I look up and behind me, and guess what's in my rearview mirror? So the prettiest two colors in the world, red and blue lights flashing. Well, I happen to pull over, and, you know, being a retired police chief and being retired from law enforcement, I thought to myself, you know, I better tell him I got a gun in the car. So he walked up to me, and we had a nice little conversation about the infraction that I had committed. Told him where my gun was, told him what I was doing. He took care of his business. I went on my way. I was dead to right, wrong, and we just had a very amiable, professional police officer person contact. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. You know, if you hadn't noticed, you might see more police officers out and about in our communities working traffic enforcement. That's proactive traffic enforcement. It's a direct response to the traffic concerns of many people, not to mention an effort to reduce the fatality rate and accident rate that's in our state. You know, your local police departments are specifically addressing a number of traffic concerns through our community. Right now, the Ticket or Click It campaign is going on with the state all the way through Labor Day. They have extra officers working. There is a program called the STEP program where the state pays police officers just to enforce that. We have people that are driving aggressively, speeding. You get red lights, stop lights. You got road rage, which is another experience altogether. And, you know, you have alcohol-related violations that police officers are out looking for. You know, right now we have inattentive drivers, and a lot of, and I saw a statistic recently that said there was almost as many people that was injured from inattentive driving by texting or cell phones as it were by alcohol-related crashes. So all this is coming to play. You know, and what really scares me as a former law enforcement officer is that, you know, with this is the 4th of July weekend here in 2-3 weeks. This is Father's Day weekend coming up. There'll be a lot of people on the road, a lot of people trying to get somewhere to try to spend as much time as they can in a short period of time with the people they care about. This, unfortunately, makes the opportunity to be stopped much more opportunistic. You know, we have to pay attention to our driving, but all of us with some time in some place are going to be guilty of breaking the traffic law. I'm going to tell you, though, if a person tells me they've never broke the law driving a car, I'm going to tell you, don't buy land from them. Everybody, every person has violated the law at some point. It's just human nature. If you're stopped while driving a motor vehicle, you may feel confused, anxious, and, yeah, probably angry sometimes. These are natural feelings we all feel when we're stopped by a police officer. But remember, traffic stops could also be stressful and dangerous for that officer as well. Each and every year, a significant number of law enforcement officers are killed or seriously injured while making routine traffic stops. And that's, you know, police officers are particularly vulnerable during the hours of darkness. They walk up to a car, they have no clue who's in the car, they can't see in the car. And think about that. Would anybody in their right mind walk down a dark alley by themselves in the middle of the night in a town they're unfamiliar with? No, they wouldn't. Police officers do that every day, especially when they're walking up to cars. I know I've had people, when I was chief, tell me, well, why didn't another police car pull up? I wasn't going to do anything wrong. Well, folks, unfortunately, the police officer who stopped you, the highway patrolman that stopped you, didn't have a clue who you were, didn't have a clue what you were doing. It's common nature many times for another officer to pull up, especially since most of the law enforcement agencies in this county, in Bell County and Williamson County, almost all over the state of Texas, except the big cities, works one-man units. Sometimes you have questions, compliments, or complaints about that officer. If you have a question about procedures or a complaint about your treatment, you need to contact your local police department, sheriff department, or DPS facility and ask to speak to the supervisor in charge. If the officer has done nothing wrong, then he should not mind a person calling their supervisor. An officer is instructed to follow a set routine as they approach a car and make it a traffic stop. Everything has to be done a certain way to protect their safety. Being upset because a person received a ticket in itself is not a valid complaint against a police officer. It really isn't, folks. State law also requires that a person must file and cite a written complaint against a police officer if they want to file a complaint against them. Just doing it verbally in the state of Texas, that doesn't get the job done. If you feel like you have been wronged by a law enforcement officer, for whatever reason it may be, you must put that in writing to the proper channels. It only takes a couple of minutes. Most departments, most agencies have a form you fill out. It goes right down the line. However, let me tell you something. With that being said, any complaints are investigated thoroughly when made, whether it's in writing or not. I'll tell you that right now. An agency cannot afford not to at least check into it. We talk about complaints, but let me explain one thing to you folks. Once in a while, it wouldn't hurt if you were treated right by a law enforcement officer to call that same person and compliment that officer. Very rarely do officers get compliments. We should compliment our law enforcement more often. We should get it so their supervisor knows they treated me with respect, they did the job that was required, and I appreciate the job they've done. There are many different reasons why the police might stop you, folks. But whatever the reason, the officer needs your cooperation during the traffic stop. Please also and always remember that in all cases, a citizen is required to cooperate with the police when stopped by an officer for a traffic violation. They don't get paid to argue with you. They don't get paid to fight with you. They're just doing their job, whether it's right or wrong. There's a place and a time to determine that. With this in mind, folks, there are things that you, the motoring public, can do to help lessen the unpleasantness of an experience by being stopped by the law enforcement. Number one, a police officer may stop you at any time for a traffic offense or a police investigation. Don't be offended if you see red and blues in the back of your rearview mirror. If they're stopping you for something, they believe that there is a violation. In the state of Texas, almost every single police car has video cameras in it. If you feel that you were wronged, all you have to do is send an open record request under the Freedom of Information Act and ask for a copy of that. Most law enforcement agencies also now carry body cams. One of the best things that's happened, it protects the citizen and it protects the police officer. When you see those overhead lights come on or you hear a siren, remain calm and just pull over to the parallel to the right side of the road. Don't pull to the left side, pull to the right side. Stay in your car unless the officer tells you to do otherwise. And this is something that a lot of people don't understand, but keep your hands on the steering wheel so the officer can see them at all times. When I was working traffic division, that is one of the things I always look for. What are they doing with their hands? Are they reaching under the seat? Are they reaching here, there, or yon? until the officer gets there, just put your hands on the steering wheel, the 10 and 2 position, and just wait. Be sure, above all things, avoid any sudden movements, especially toward the floorboard, rear seat, or passenger side of the car. Don't lean over. Don't do anything. That puts the officer on edge, and it makes the situation right off the bat get tense. Avoid that, please. Do not immediately reach for your license or other documents until the officer requests them. The officer is going to tell you what he needs. He'll tell you he needs your driver's license, your proof of insurance. If you are a license to carry individual, I would highly suggest that you hand him your license to carry at the same time. It removes any doubt, any unpleasantness, and it also lets him know that there is the possibility there is a weapon in the car. If your documents are out of reach, me, for instance, I keep my insurance card in my glove box, which is way on the right side of my pickup. The first thing I'm going to tell the officer is I am reaching into my glove box to get my insurance card. There may be a gun in there, so don't shoot me. It lets the officer know exactly what's going on. It lets him know what you're going to do before you do it. If the stop occurs during darkness and nighttime, put on your dome light or the interior light so the officer can easily see in your car. A lot of people don't think about that. Nighttime is the time when a lot of people get very, very tense in law enforcement. They're walking up to a blind car. Sure, they've got their spotlights on your rearview mirror so you can't see backwards. But turn your dome light on so that the officer can see in the car. Number one, that'll help him. Number two, that'll let him know you're not there to harm him. If there are passengers in your car, and this is really important, if there are passengers in your vehicle, encourage them to remain quiet and cooperative with instructions. You as the operator are solely responsible for the vehicle and for the people in your car. I've stopped cars before, and to be honest with you, it's almost comical. I've stopped them. And the person driving the car is just as calm, cool, and collected as anything. But you've got a passenger in the back seat that, for whatever reason, starts mouthing off. And you can just kind of feel the driver getting a little tighter in that seat and things kind of sucking him toward the bottom of that seat. Sometimes the passengers cause more problems than the driver does. The officer may issue you a citation. Avoid becoming argumentative or arguing with him will not change the fact that he's going to write you a citation. If you choose to contest the citation, you'll have the opportunity to do it, to address the matter in court with a judge. And let me tell you, people say, well, it doesn't pay to go to court. Yes, it does. It most certainly does. That is your right, and you need to avail yourself of that right. And be honest with the officer. If you really didn't see the stop sign or were unaware of the speed limits, just tell him. Don't try to make an excuse. Just tell him, I was just being honest. I didn't know that it was there. I ran it. I'm sorry I ran it. It may not get you out of a ticket, but at least he knows that you're being honest with him. Most smaller agencies and the DPS generally operates one-man cars, like I said earlier. So it is normal to see another car pull up behind you. Just be aware for that. Finally, if you receive a citation, or as we call a ticket, accept it calmly. By signing this traffic citation, it's not that you're admitting guilt on it. It's only saying that you will comply with the instructions given to you by the officer if you wish to contest the traffic citation in a court of law. Don't argue about, I'm not going to sign it, I refuse to sign it. That's the only time that you can be arrested and put in jail for traffic citations such as that. The side of the road is not the courtroom. All law enforcement officers are expected to be courteous, and most have a policy to always be polite to the violator. However, they're not required, and I'll repeat this. A police officer is not required to listen to rudeness, vulgarity, or argue with you. If a citizen does decide to argue the citation, the officer is instructed to close the conversation, and then he needs to report that to his supervisor. Remember, you're on camera, so anything you say on camera can come back to be used against you. No one wants to receive a citation. No one does. I've received them. I didn't want to receive them. My kids have received them. Friends of mine have received them. However, traffic enforcement and following the laws of the state and the city are part of the privilege of becoming a Texas driver's license holder. It is a privilege. It's not something that was just given to us. It's a privilege. Obeying the laws, driving courteously, and driving defensively will reduce the chance of ever having contact with law enforcement. Remember also, when you approach a police officer with a vehicle stopped, state law requires that the driver approaching the officer and the vehicle to either move to the opposite lane or to slow down. That is going to change also with tow truck operators, construction operators, etc. in the coming September. There was a horrific accident that happened in Killeen just a month or so ago where a tow truck operator lost his life just trying to help someone with a flat tire. We have to give people a break. We need to understand that they're out there trying to help people. You know, That also applies to ambulances, fire trucks, anything you see of that nature. You need to move over to the opposite lane or slow down 20 miles under the speed limit. You know, September 1st will bring a great, just a big change for laws in Texas. You know, right now, maybe some cities you're around, some cities you're in, they make it illegal for you to text or use your telephone. Well, September the 1st, that's become state law statewide, from Dalhart to Beaumont, from El Paso to Brownsville, all the way up to the far northeast Texas. If you're on your phone texting and driving, you're going to be stopped by law enforcement. Hopefully that'll reduce the accidents. And finally, folks, have a great weekend, everyone. The heat is oppressive out. It's going to get only hotter. I saw the news last night that Phoenix tomorrow is supposed to have a temperature of 119 degrees. That temperatures are going to be moving to our direction with that high pressure system. So take care of your pets, your family, and take care of yourself. You know, we have a lot of good things that happen in the Central Texas area. We have a lot of good people that live in this area. We have a lot of people that help each other out. But one of the things that we have to do, folks, is many times understand that there are a lot of people out there that can't help themselves. You know, if you have some elderly friends, if you have someone that has small children and they're having hard times right now, ask them if they need a fan. Ask them if they need maybe something. You'd be surprised how many people have their water cut off during the summertime. And I can't imagine trying to live and try to function without water to drink or water to cook with or whatever it may be. So check with your neighbors. Most of you know your neighbors. Most of you know the situations they're in. Unfortunately, what we've done in the past is we've made it harder for our neighbors to become neighbors. You know, I urge you to be a compassionate human being. You know, Mr. Dodd and Matt earlier talked about compassion and about being the type of people that we should be. That would solve 99% of all the problems in this world if we would just take into account that we have people out there that maybe need some help once in a while. Be a compassionate human being. Be a compassionate American. Take the time to deal with people. Take the time to help people when they need their most intricate help. You know, as we go through this month and we go through the holiday weekend, you know, July 4th is a time when we talk about our independence in this nation. Being independent is an important thing. Being independent is extremely something that we can be proud of as an American. But there are a lot of people, for whatever reason, they can't be as free. They can't be as able to do what they need to do because of the conditions of our economy or our environment. Help them out. Help them become better people. Take the time to work with them. Take the time to think about how a person you could help. You know, there's a lot of organizations that try to help people in this county, in Bell County, Williamson County, Robertson County. Donating just an hour of your time a week, just an hour of your time to help somebody who can't help themselves. Maybe you have a little old lady who lives next door to you, and I don't mean that negatively. Maybe she needs her yard cut. Maybe that she needs some shrubs trimmed. Take the time to be a good citizen. Take the time to have that compassion that is so important for human beings to help them out. So with all that being said, folks, it has been a great, great day for me to be here with y'all. Have a great Father's Day, you fathers out there. Hope that your kids will call you and tell you they love you. If they don't, you call them because they're the reason you're a father. So take care, everyone, and we'll talk to you later next week.
Are you needing repair service for your motorcycles, four-wheelers, ATVs, or farm utility vehicles? Then you need to visit Squirrels Two Wheel Custom in Zobchickville. Squirrels Two Wheel Customs is now located at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville. At Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, you'll find a wide assortment of parts and supplies. And if it's not in stock, David Trojan will take your order and your part or supply will be here in a very short time. Stop by Two Wheel Customs at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville or call 985-2222. That's Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, offering complete repair, service, parts, and supplies for any make or model of motorcycle, ATV, four-wheelers, and farm utility vehicles.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Sentex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com. Sentex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Sentex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com.
Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Back, and it's June 17th, 2017, and we've got about 35 more minutes. There's a correction on the ad. We have Two Wheel Customs, one of our great sponsors. There seems to be a discrepancy in the phone number, so I wanted to clear that up real quick. It's 254, or was it 512, Trey? It's 254-760-2250. It's 2250-760-2250. That's Two Wheel Custom, and we'll get that squared away for next show. My apologies out there. Okay, let's talk about our product spotlight here. Ladies and gentlemen, just like Two Wheel Custom helps keep us on the air, so does ANC Firearms. ANC Firearms is one of our sponsors as well, and I've known Arch for a long time. He's the owner of ANC Firearms out there in Heidenhammer between Temple and Rogers, and he's got a lot of good stuff in there. He's got guns, ammo, reloading supplies, knives, holsters, all sorts of good stuff. And what's really cool about his location, it's just a neat looking building. It's an old bank there on the corner of in Heidenhammer, the old corner there, the main intersection where the blinking light used to be. I think it's still blinking. And you walk in the door there and you got the old oak floors that squeak, and got the walls that are brick and the plaster's partially down for effect. And you got that vault in the back there. It's the old style vault, and it works just as good as a new one. But it's a pretty cool place to check out. So not only do they have great product, they got a great atmosphere, and they've got also great customer service. Arch, Clint, Dennis, and Mike, they're all great guys. They'll do whatever they can to square you away. So today what we're going to be talking about is the product spotlight. It's the H&K 416 AR pistol and 22 long rifle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is an awesome gun. I have one. I've had a bunch of people buy one from me because it's so good with what you can do. It's compact and portable. I'm going to read to you some basic brief on it, then give you some people who've written up on it. What am I trying to say? Giving a review about it. And then I'm going to tell you what I've done with mine and how reasons I use it and what it's for and how it can pertain to LTC as well. But first of all, this is from ImpactGuns.com. It's the Model 416 rimfire pistol, 22 long rifle, 9-inch barrel, pistol grip with an adjustable rear sight and a 20-round mag. The Heckler & Koch 416 pistol is a handgun version of the HK 416 chambered in 22 long rifle. This 17.5-inch pistol is made with the same metal upper and lower receivers. That's the key thing I liked, was the metal uppers and receiver, as the 416 22 rifle. The 416 is a dedicated 22. Let me make a clarification on that. You can have a regular AR that shoots 5.56 and insert into it a 22 conversion kit. And that's fine. They work fine. But I've come to believe that dedicated 22s work much better. They seem to just function a lot better. The barrel measures 9 inches in length, and its rails are machined. The 416's pistol grip has a storage compartment for small tools or batteries, and the sights can be removed to make room for the pistol optic. The magazines for the 22 caliber 416 pistol are the same as the 22 long rifle 416 rifles. They are made of high strength polymer and designed to make loading simple and efficient, which they are very. They've got a lever on the side that you thumb grab. You put your thumb on it, you're able to pull it down, as compared to loading it strictly by putting your thumb up on the top. It makes it a lot easier. They've got it in 20 or 10 round versions. Now, it's a blowback system. Operates a 22 caliber HK416 pistol. The dust cover functions and the bolt remains open when the magazine empties. The rear sight is adjustable for windage and elevation, and its safety selector rotates 90 degrees from unsafe to fire. It's a very pretty pistol here. Let me show you a quick picture of it in the video. There it is. So when we go checking this out on YouTube, you get to see what it looks like. But now let me read to you some reviews of what people say, and then I'll tell you what I think about it too in the next couple of minutes here. This is from Mr. HK416 out of Alabama. Beautiful weapon. Low recoil. Makes it very functional. Thanks. This comes from Frank from Pulaski. I got to play with this little AR pistol, 22 long rifle platform. It ran amazingly. I had some leftover ammo, just random, ranging from sub to high velocity grain bullets. Jacked them all. Not a single jam. I got up and bought one the next day. I have yet to hear back on my application. He wants to put a stock on it, and you can do that with the proper paperwork. Okay, this is from Dog from Virginia. Have not had a brand of ammo not work yet. Everyone that shoots it loves it. Now, this guy, Singus from Farmington, Utah, he kind of clarified and gives it a positive rating as well. But he goes, first off, the gun's not made by Umarex. They are nothing more than the importer. Neither is it made by HK. It is, however, built with the HK specs. So HK gives the permission for it. This gun is actually made by the legendary Carl Walther Arms. It's rock solid, well-built, and insane fun to shoot. It wouldn't be my go-to gun for zombie apocalypse, but since it's 22 long rifle, it may go for anything else. So grab it, fire it, and smile. And I say the same thing. I've got it here, all tricked out, and hopefully you'll get to see it on video. But here we go. The first thing we're going to do when I get this weapon is check to make sure it's not loaded. Magazine's clear and chamber's clear. Love the sound of that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you'll notice that this one's a little bit juiced up. I'll try and describe it. The basic AR pistol doesn't have a stock to it. Well, there's a lot of people who want to have a stock on this kind of gun because they want to get a short barrel license for it. And you have to have the ability to put a stock on it. So what I did was I had manufactured an adapter piece that goes on the rear, which looks beautiful, and many people have bought from me. And they put on a pistol tube so that they can put on either a SIG arm brace or one of these blades that are now no problems whatsoever to have it on the weapon. And you're able to support your fire with this gun by utilizing the blade or the SIG Sauer brace. Also, with the cheese grater quad rail that we've got here, and what that means is there's a rail on all four sides. We've put an angled forearm grip on it. I was able to attach a flashlight. I put on my flip-on sights, and I put an EOTech-like, it's a Sightmark brand, green dot system on it. We've got the sling adapter part on the rear so I can attach my single point sling or turn it into a two point sling. And we've got the fake looking suppressor. If you go to my Facebook page at aaronsgunshop.com, you'll see this picture of me holding it, and it's very sexy. And if you also look in the magazine, you'll see the slot. Now, full size cartridges 5.56 also have magazines like this, but this particular one, it just gets to show you this little button right here that you can pull down the follower and make the ease of loading much easier than having to just put it one on top of the other on the top of the magazine. It's a very nice gun. It's excellent shooting. I've got a shot group. I went out there just the other day just to play around. And when I did it, I got this blue figure and I did it at 15 yards and did four different shot groups. And all I did was stand up, pick up the gun, and in one group number one, I shot about, I don't know, 8 rounds, and it's in his belly, nice tight group. Then the other one was a headshot, even tighter group, and I wasn't even trying. Now, you could enhance this gun by going to H&K and buying a trigger replacement kit, and all that is three little springs that change the poundage of the trigger to a lighter poundage, and it'll be even smoother and slicker. Ladies and gentlemen, go to ANC Firearms. Call them at 254-983-4417. Ask for any one of Arch, Mike, Clint, Dennis. Tell them, hey, I just heard Matt talking about your H&K 416 AR pistol. I want one. Check it out. And you're going to love it. You really are. And the price is right on it. And you can modify it to your specific needs. And it's great for a house gun. It's great for rodent control, all sorts of stuff, and just plain old good plinking. So that's that with ANC Firearms. Remember, 254-983-4417. They support us, and we need you to support them. So, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our special guest, Lisa Roden, with Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, telling us how we can get out of the slammer. We'll be back in a little bit.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. It's June 17th, 2017. We got about 22 minutes left in the program. Now, I'm very excited to have with us our new sponsor, Lisa Roden, with Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, and she is sitting to the left of me right now as I speak. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Matt.
How you been?
I've been doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I hear you were pretty busy this morning before you even got here.
Yeah, I love it. That's the way we're supposed to roll.
Getting people out of jail, huh?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, now, Lisa, not everybody knows who you are. Almost everybody does, but that small 2% who don't know who you are, let's give you a short bio of who you are, what you do, and how long you've been doing it, so on and so forth, so we can get up to speed here.
Well, my name is Lisa Roden. We run Twin Pistol Bail Bonds and also have another bail bond company. Also, I'm an insurance agent, and we stay busy constantly. Our main goal is to try to get people out of jail as fast as we can because the jail can get crowded pretty quick. And so if you need a bail bondsman, you can give us a call, and we'll sure enough give you a chance to see if we can help you.
I got an initial question right off the bat. You know, when you talk about getting people out of jail as quick as you can, well, let's say we got some really nasty people in there. We can't take away their rights.
No, you can't.
So we have to wait and go through the process, but you're going to expedite those rights as quickly as you can through your expert bondsmanship, right?
Yes, we try to. I mean, it depends on the person, their cell, and the co-signer. I mean, it all depends on getting everything together. I mean, first of all, you have to have a co-signer, which they have to be able to have a job to pay for the bond. If the bond's $10,000, that person that's going to be a co-signer would have to be worth at least double that amount, $20,000, in case that person jumped bond. So you've got a lot of steps you have to look at before you can. I mean, it's not a 5-minute process. Mm-hmm. You know, it might take you a day. It might take you 4 hours to do. It just depends on who the person is, what their crime rate was, if they've been in trouble in the past. I mean, there's just a lot of different things to look at. But if it's just like the first offense and we get a co-signer, a $2,000 bond, parent comes in, pays the bond, show us that they work, have a valid driver's license, it usually takes anywhere from 15 minutes to 4 hours, I suppose.
Okay, let's make sure we're in the mic here. Now, Lisa, let's back it up a little bit. Tell me, we had this discussion in the office, and I found it very interesting because I'm a businessman, and I'm always interested to see how people get involved with things, and just so people can get to know you and see how your mind works, unless you don't want people to know.
That might be scary.
How did you get involved, or how did you become a bondsman? And since you're a woman, why do we call it a bondsman? Why don't we call it a bondsperson, if we want to be politically correct?
Well, you know, I really don't know. I've often wondered that myself, but that's just how the system works. Is it's called a bail bondsman, and I guess woman has man in it, so I guess that works
out. All right, well, wait a minute. Now, first of all, how long have you been in the business?
11 years.
Okay, and tell me the process of the evolution of how you got involved with this.
Well, one day, we purchased this land in Cameron across from where the sheriff's department was being purchased to build our insurance office. And my father-in-law came down, and mother-in-law from Sweetwater, and we showed them the property and everything, and there was a little building on it. And our father-in-law said, what are y'all going to do with that building? And I said, I'm not really sure. He goes, that's a jailhouse being built, correct? And I said, yes, sir. He goes, well, open up a bail bonds company. He said, I have a friend that got filthy rich doing it. I thought, ooh, this sounds cool. Started checking into it. I haven't got filthy rich, that's for sure, but it has been fun. I've met lots and lots of fun people, nice people, and I've been treated with great respect, so I have no problem doing what I do.
Okay, so you have no problem doing what you do. Let's talk about what you do. And, you know, we're going to expand upon this. I'm going to get into the cracks. You've been talking, you know, like I always use an analogy, like there's a sidewalk, and every flat piece of concrete is basic information. I'm the one who's always looking in the cracks. Okay. That's where all the good stuff is, okay? It's like sucking that bone marrow out of that bone. You know, that's where all the nutrients
really
are, okay? So what does a bondsman do? Give us the whole process. Be very thorough and explain it to us.
Well, a bondsman is the surety on the person that's the inmate, which you would call them, or some people call them criminal. No, I don't look at everybody being a criminal myself. But what it is, the process is someone's in jail for doing a crime, and we have to go ahead. They need to get released to be out in public, because otherwise, if you left everybody in jail, your jail's going to fill up, and there's not going to be any place to put another criminal at. So what we do is the process is we try to get them out. It's called a surety bond. Basically, it's like going to Las Vegas and gambling. You're taking a chance that this person's going to take care of business, which most of them pretty much do. And
okay, wait, let's back up for a second. You said something which makes total sense, but I never thought about it this way. if you never, this has nothing to do with constitutionality. This just has to do with, oh, that's interesting. If you arrest everybody in the sense who's going to be arrested, you're not going to have enough room. You've got to get them out. So based on what they did determines the amount of the bond.
That's correct.
So if it's like a real heinous thing or whatever, sometimes I guess that's not given. But if it's just typical stuff, they'll put the bond in a certain price so that person can get out and get the next batch in.
That's correct. That's correct.
Crime is good, I guess. Okay, so, all right, so keep going on.
So anyway, we hold the surety on this person until they complete court. There's a process. You bond them out. Then they're either indicted or not indicted. They get a court letter. They have to go to court. And once they complete court, then we're done with them. But for instance, if somebody doesn't go to court, well, the county is going to go after the bail bondsman because we posted the bond saying they're going
to
be there.
When you say don't go to court, you mean they just deliberately said, screw that, I'm not going.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, they can do that. I mean, there's a lot of people that think, oh, well, I don't have to go. It's no big deal. And they don't. Well, it comes back to haunt us because then we can be charged for anywhere from... They charge us by percentage day per day, but it can go all the way up to the, if it's a $1,500 bond, they could sue us for $1,500 plus. So on a $1,500 bond, we charge 10% on a Malham County charge. So we'd get plus $20 filing fee.
I don't understand something, though. I'm probably just not getting this. The person who's in jail is posting a bond because in hopes that they're not going to want to lose their money, they're going to show back up and go through the process. What does the jail lose on this? Why do they sue you other than saying, you know, you lost our guy?
It's not the jail that sues us. It's the county. Because what happens is the funds go into, there's road funds, there's different funds that money goes into. So it helps the county out.
But it has nothing to do, the roads and all that has nothing to do with the person in the jail. So it's just a matter of like, you know, you want to play this game, there's a price to it.
Right. That is basically, yeah.
Every game's got a price. Mm-hmm. Okay, so keep going.
So anyway, we on Malham County charges, we charge 10% plus the $20 filing fee, which has to be done. And so you said figure on a $1,500 bond, we get $170. If they don't go to court, I could be liable up to $1,500.
So it behooves you to be sure that, yes. You know. So what's your...
That's why you have to have a co-signer. We always don't... Dustin, don't we require 21 and over, or is it 18 and over?
Hold on. Before you answer that question, introduce yourself there. My apologies. Say hi to everybody. Tell them who you are and what you're doing here.
I'm Dustin Thomas. I work with Lisa. She's my mother. And I've been doing it, what, now about 4 years? Uh-huh. 4 years and... Still have a little bit to learn, but she's teaching me right. And we're let's go back to where we were.
We were talking about
the age.
Oh yes. So usually we require 21 and up, just because you know 18 you're able to do certain things. I mean, you can join the military at 18. I mean, buy tobacco products, but you know, a lot of the times an 18-year-old is not as responsible as they should be. And so we do, I like to require 21 and up because, you know, they're going to care a little bit more, you know, they're going to care a little bit more.
And that's what the co-signer comes
in. That's what we're talking about, as a co-signer here. I'm sorry. So I'm just trying to think the best way to explain. I mean, they have to have a job. I mean, obviously that we're not just going to get somebody out, have
wouldn't
a co-signer.
Wouldn't it be safe to say, though, that they got arrested, they lost their job?
Well, no, we're talking about the co-signer.
Okay.
So we want the co-signer to have a job, to be somewhat stable in their life, just in case the criminal that we got out of jail was to jump bond. We want them to be able to pay that. We want them to be able to pay us back. You know, if you get an 18-year-old kid, you know, just fresh out of high school, you know,
working at Sonic.
Mike works might make $7 an hour, $7.25. I'm sorry. They're not gonna care about paying that $1,500 back because they're not gonna have the money to. Okay. They have other things in life.
You got a pretty much a set checklist of what to mm-hmm. look for when it comes to getting people. Okay,
it all comes down to talking to the person.
Lisa, when I was in your office, we mentioned this, and I'm not a constitutional scholar by no means, but off the top of our heads, where does the bail bond come in? Constitutionally wise, because everybody has. Do we know this? This is. If somebody knows that, let me know. Because
I really don't know that.
I know it has something to do with where you know you can't be arrested or I don't know. We'll skip this. It's an interesting question. I want to find it out, too.
I'll look into that.
Can anybody be a bail bondsman?
Well, I guess you could. Well, it depends.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm too stupid to get arrested because I don't know the first thing about this. I'd be in jail for I don't know how many years. I'd be like, who do I call? What do I do? But
you would be surprised. There's a lot of people that's never dealt with it, and they're like, I don't know what to do. Where do I even begin to start? But yes, really and truly, to be a bail bondsman, there is requirements. A lot of requirements because, first of all, you have to get approved by the sheriff. He's the main one that does the approving, and you've got to, it requires a lot of paperwork. It requires a lot of paperwork, and, you know, if you don't have the funds or the money or property to back you, then you really couldn't be a bail bondsman because you're taking on such a high risk.
What she's trying to say there, just to clarify a little bit, is you have to have collateral, in a sense, to... You got all this. You say you get sued for $100,000. We're just throwing out a number out there. And if you don't have that in your account, you're going to have to pay that back to the county in some way, which would be by land, if you put up land for the collateral to start your bonding company, or however that may be, because you can't just start one up and say, okay.
Well, I can see why that's important, because you're dealing with a lot of people's money. You're dealing with your money, people are putting bonds in, the county's money, if it doesn't get paid or whatever, so you've got to show your credibility. So that's another good thing. When people are looking at you, they can say, I know you got to jump through hoops before you can become a bondsman.
Right.
And hopefully those hoops are good, tight hoops, and are beneficial to all those who participate in it, and that you're a good bail bondsman. What can make a bad bail bondsman?
Not being professional. And that's one thing I have to pride ourselves in, is I think we're very professional. We treat our people with respect. Like, I treat my people how I want to be treated. So, I mean, they're not guilty until they're found guilty. And you can't judge a person until they go before the judge.
Well, that's right.
Even good people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been plenty of good people, you know, just been on the wrong side for once. And turn their life around. I mean, you just can't judge somebody if... I mean, you could get thrown in jail for driving without a license.
That's what Mr. Dixon said a while ago on the radio station. He said, nobody has ever been perfect in a vehicle. Everybody has made a mistake. You might not admit it, but it does happen.
There seems to be more that you can get arrested for than there's not to be arrested
for. Well, back in the day, when I was young, you didn't get arrested near like you do now. I mean... Back in the day, it was like, okay, well.
Well, they call everybody's an agent of the court. You got law enforcement agent of the court, attorney agent of the court, and all this kind of agent of the court. Agent, what's an agent? Is it sales rep? What, I don't know. It seems like money, fees, fines, everything. It's all in there to pay the system. But that's me talking negatively. Let's talk about, can you go to other counties and place bonds?
No, we can't. We're a no board county, which means that we have to stay in Mahlon County only. Now, if someone is in Mahlon County Jail on an out-of-county charge, we can get them out.
We need more clarification on what you mean by certain requirements for some... This county's not...
Okay, Board County has to have... It is a county that has a population of 110,000 plus.
Okay.
Mahlon County is not close to that. So what the PBT, which is Professional Bail Bonds Association, calls small counties like us, when you go to a meeting, they'll say, oh, you're that way out west county, right? Yeah, I guess so. But that's basically, instead of a board, which consists of a sheriff, DA, assistant DA, several lawyers, some county commissioners, they look at the board, where we go through the sheriff. And if he sees that we're doing something wrong, he'll pop us on the hand and say, no, no, you can't do that. But that's hardly ever done because I respect everything they tell us to do. And that's just part of it. I'm not going to do anything illegal.
You're such a good person, Lisa.
No, I can't say that. You really don't know me.
So do you ever think we'll become a board county?
I hope not. And I don't think so because it would really... It's putting a lot more pressure on people. I mean, it would give all the county officials more work.
Yeah, that would not just be for the bondsmen. You know, it wouldn't just put more pressure on us. It would put more pressure on the county officials because that's more time they're going to have to put in. Because it's an actual board, you know, board of directors. And that, you know, they have to convene meetings. And I
once
mean,
a week.
Once a week. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's more for the county officials to do. And I've never been in a board county. I don't know exactly how they work, but it just it wouldn't seem viable for this county at this time, unless we grow a lot. I mean, you never know.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, God forbid if you or a family member ever gets in a situation like this, you need to know people who are competent in what they do, okay? Lisa's been doing this for 11 years now, and they seem to have this down pretty pat. They know what they're doing. They've got all the connections in the sense of being able to communicate, and the people that communicate have respect for them, and it goes both ways. So these are great people to deal with. But now we're clocking down here. I'll tell you what, Trey, I want a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish this up here. We're going to regather our thoughts here, because I want to make sure we get all the important facts out before the end of the show. So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish it up. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We've got about 5 minutes left here, and we're going to finish up. And my special guest is Lisa Roden and Dustin Thomas with Twin Pistol Bail Bonds. And we've been learning a lot. I know I have. And the main thing I learned is I'm not going to jail if I can keep out of it. Okay?
We might give you a pass.
I hear the food isn't that good, you know. So, but anyway, I tell you what.
Take your salt and pepper.
Lisa, I want to ask you a question. And Dustin, I want you to hit up on a comment you just made on the break here. Tell me about the people you deal with and the relationships you build up with them.
Well, I have to say I have very good relationships with pretty much everybody I've ever bonded out. I mean, as of today, I bonded a young man out 11 years ago, and he calls me every Christmas and just says, "Hey, Miss Lisa, I bet you don't know who this is." And I'll say, "I bet you I do, honey." And he'll say, "Just calling to wish you a Merry Christmas." I have people like that all the time. I can be in the grocery store. I can be in Walmart. People hollering, "Hey, Mama, what you doing, Mama?" or this and that. And people bring in drinks. Or
I'll bet you, if you're in a what did you call it? A county that has that is a board county. I bet you don't get that personal relationship.
I bet you don't either.
It's just too big.
So.
You yep. become a number.
Exactly. And I can pretty much know everybody when they call me to check in every Monday. I know who they are.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's not. Oh, let me see. I bonded. No, I mean, it's like, "Oh, okay, Aaron or Matt, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? How's the baby today?" You know,
you can actually put a face to the name,
yeah,
and they're not
yeah.
just a number.
We get a little personal.
I have no baby, by the way. Okay. All right, let's go. We're running out of time here. Tell me, Dustin, what were you mentioning on the break? And tell what you're mentioning and then explain what
you're doing. How it works is what we're here for is to let you be released from jail until your court date. And then, you know, who's to say you committed a crime and this is your third or fourth offense, and then you might get sentenced to jail, you know, once you go to court. But
we give you that time.
Yeah,
to get
it's a time for, so you could sit in that jail for that 4 months and you could get some time served towards your sentence. Or, you know, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get jail time every time you go to court, you know. A lot of times it's more probation or fines and stuff like that. But instead of making them sit in that jail system for 3 to 4 months, we give them an opportunity to get out and get their jobs, provide for their families, so that when they do go to court, they can go to the judge or they can go to whomever they need to talk to their attorney and say, "Hey, I'm trying here. I've got a job. I've gone to rehab.
Yeah, they couldn't have that opportunity if they didn't have the time out.
No, sir. If they were in jail, you know, they would be sitting there with their
based on the crime, three hots and a cot.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. And what is a bond? If it's a $100,000 bond, that means they got to put up 10%.
10% plus the $20 money.
Well, so that's $10,020.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And 17 cents.
Yeah, yeah. Throw that cents in there.
Okay. Now let's finish it up with this. Dustin and Lisa, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. If you got websites, phones, whatever. So if they got troubles, they can give you guys a call.
You can give us a call at, you know, at the number listed 697-6035 or 254. And then 254-697-6000. We're located right across the street off of 36 from the jailhouse in a big green and white building you can't miss.
That's the other thing, too. They can come into your office. You don't have to do it in a car or something, right?
Oh, no. We handle all our business inside the office. Yeah. And then we'll take the bond to the jailhouse, and then they come back to our office.
Because I can only assume it's embarrassing. And
probably.
So,
yes, sir.
The privacy of your office where you're...
Everything's done in private, and whenever, you know, whenever our clients come back, they have their own time. It's all private.
Very good. 30 seconds. Okay, I got 30 seconds. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, Lisa and Dustin, for coming on the show. Give them a call. And until next week, everybody, God bless and keep your powder dry.
I hear people talking about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be.
CBS News, I'm Bill Rakoff. Supporters of Bill Cosby cheering as the comedian left a courthouse in Norristown, Pennsylvania, following a mistrial on charges that he drugged and molested Andrea Constan at his home in 2004. CBS's Matt Piper was in the courtroom when that mistrial was announced.
The prosecution already says it will retry the case against Bill Cosby. This after the judge said he had no choice after 53 hours of deliberations over 6 days, but to declare a mistrial. Soon after, yells from outside the courtroom from about a dozen Cosby supporters, accusers holding each other in solidarity. Bill Cosby walked out of court the same way he has every day and did not say a